What's up, golfers, aspiring golfers, people of the golf community? Welcome back to another episode of Chasing Your Best. This podcast is dedicated to helping you with the golf learning curve. I always want to give you tools and resources and best practices and all the stuff that can help you along the way. Today, we're talking turn. Turn influences a handful of variables in the golf swing, and I just want to explain to you why turn is so important and how it affects the rest of your golf swing. Before we dive into that, I hope you've gotten a chance to hop on over and leave this podcast a review. I'm going to give somebody a swing analysis, and I'm going to give some more people golf balls. Depending on how many reviews we get, I'm going to give away a dozen golf balls for every 10 reviews that gets given. That's a 10% chance of winning a dozen golf balls. Like, where else can you find that? And if you win the swing analysis, we're going to work together on your golf swing and put you on the path to improvement. Aside from that, we're living in strange times right now. I don't know what part of the world you're listening to this to, but in the United States, in the state of Washington, that's in the Pacific Northwest, that's not Washington, D.C. In the state of Washington, we just got put on lockdown. They don't want you leaving your house for anything unnecessary. Non-essential businesses are closed. And would you believe this, that my golf instruction business is non-essential? I have a hard time believing it, but I don't know. Apparently, the governor thinks otherwise. So my indoor golf academy is closed, and I'm kind of stuck. Not stuck, but I'm not doing my normal thing. So we're living in strange times. I was at the grocery store yesterday. People are shuffling around each other, giving everybody their distance. A lot of essential supplies are gone at the grocery store, and it's just different. Now, that being said, I hope this podcast for you is like a break from it all. Hopefully it gives you a source of entertainment and information. And I hope you keep a positive mindset through all this, because I think that's really important. And you get to look at the upside. Like, there's a lot of upside to just disconnecting from your day to day and spending time at home. You can do all the things that you've been putting off, organizing your closet, writing out goals, connecting with your family. There's lists and lists of things you can do around the house to keep yourself entertained and busy. And yeah, I don't think you should look at this as a bad thing. It will pass. It'll pass like all things, and we'll move on. But let's hop into golf. That's why you're here, I hope, to talk golf and learn more about it. We're talking turn. Turn for me is one of those things that it's something very early I go to in the golf instruction cycle. And my first thing is I want good basic movement from a player. I want them to turn around a relatively fixed axis. I want them to make a weight shift to their lead side after they've made their turn back. And then I want them to finish with their body fully turned to the target. Now, getting open, talking about all those sorts of things, it's become a little bit of a buzzword within our industry, but I hope I can clarify to you how turn works and what things it influences. So let's start. We're gonna roll up. So starting with your setup position, your shoulders and your hips should be relatively square to the target. In fact, if we wanted to get technical, they should be a few degrees open to the target. Aside from that, it's indiscriminate. Now we turn to the top of the backswing. Here's where a turn starts to influence things. And actually, before we get to the top of the backswing, let me hop in and talk about the takeaway. Now, the general amateur problem I see with the takeaway is that a player does not turn their shoulders and their hips enough to start their swing, and they start their swing with their arms, and their arms tend to lift, and the club face tends to roll open. And from that point, we're already set up into a position where we're not going to create great tempo. We're already out of sync with our body and our arms. And basically, if you were to tie a towel or a rope around your arms and your chest, everything should turn back together to your takeaway position, meaning that your arms, your shoulders, your hips should turn back to your takeaway position, and your head should stay still. Now, to keep your head still, if it's not, you probably don't have enough shoulder tilt, or your lead shoulder's not angled enough towards the ground. But let's fast forward. You need to turn in your takeaway. The arms and the shoulders should work together. If they don't, it puts you out of sequence right away. It hurts your tempo right away. I don't know a lot of golf coaches or professionals that will define tempo for you. Well, here's my definition of tempo. It's how the arms and the body turn together. And good players can play great golf with a relatively slow tempo. Think of Fred Couples. Great players can play great golf with a relatively quick tempo. Think Tiger Woods. There's different tempos that play good golf, but the universal is that things turn together. When I watch every great player, I don't see anybody in the takeaway position with their shoulders 20 degrees turned. I see most of them from 50 to 60 to even a little bit more than that turn. This is universal of great golf. So we want to turn everything to the top of the backswing, and here's where it starts to get fun. So basically, there's some correlations here I want to describe to you. A good turn is roughly 90 degrees from the shoulders and half of that from the hips, so 90 and 45. And then at the top of the backswing, so let's use 90 and 45 as kind of our baseline for measurement. We're going to turn up our shoulders to roughly 90 and 45, and that's a good turn. Now, that amount of turn facilitates a certain amount of depth. And I'm defining depth by the grip of the club is in relation to your feet. So if that handle of that club is more out over your toes, that's going to be less depth. If the handle of the club is more behind you or more behind your heels, that's going to be more depth. So 90 degrees a turn facilitates a certain amount of depth. If you turn more than that, you're going to increase your depth. You're going to get more depth from the shaft of the club. If you turn less than that, you're going to get less depth. I want you to think of Jim Furyk as a specific example of less depth. And I don't know a great example off the top of my head for more depth, but more turn, more depth. So as you have more depth, that gets your hand path or your hands deeper or more behind you. If your hands are more behind you, basically that's going to facilitate a more inside-out swing path, assuming you're not going to make any manipulations from that position. Now, if you don't turn as much, that facilitates a more outside in swing path and less depth. So less depth, less inside out, more depth, more inside out. That's the basic correlation that starts to bring everything together. Now, when you think about it, Mr. Jim Furyk and how he plays golf, he doesn't make as much turn. He's got a lot of arm lift. Now, think through this in your head. And if you can't think through it in your head, bring up a YouTube video of Jim Furyk's swing. Once he gets to his top position where his hands are very high, how is he going to get the club to the inside? Well, he has to make a big move to get the club to the inside to facilitate the amount of depth and the flattening of the shaft so he can swing from an on-plane position. Now, I'm doing my best to describe all this. I know this stuff can be a little bit technical. I'm trying my best in words. If you're really struggling following this stuff, hop on over to my YouTube channel, the TC Golf Academy YouTube channel, and there's more references to describe these things. But less depth means we have to manipulate the club to get it on a path that's functional. More depth, and this can be overdone as well, means that now we don't need to manipulate the hands as much to get the club on plane. Or if that same manipulation is there, then we're going to swing too far inside out. So if we turn a ton, let's say you turn 120 degrees and you have a ton of depth at the top of your swing. Now the hand path needs to work more outward in the downswing to put the club on a functional plane. And that's why this is all so important, and where the rubber really starts to meet the road and where this gets important is in the downswing. We have to organize the downswing in a way where we're creating a functional plane and the club's going to swing back down the plane line. That is so important because it gives you the highest percentage chance of hitting the middle of the club face and creating the least amount of side spin on the golf ball. And when everybody asks for consistency, well, having a great swing plane is the path to consistency. That's how you create less side spin on the ball and create those shots that are straight or those nice high draws or those very soft fades. You have a club that works down the swing plane line. So there are different positions that can play great golf. You can have less depth at the top. You can have more depth at the top. But it depends how you organize your downswing. And if you start to understand these components, you can organize your downswing in a more skillful fashion, a more systemized fashion, So you're not stuck guessing. And that's, to me, is what's so important. So at the top of the backswing, more turn, more depth. Less turn, less depth. If you have less turn, you got to work your hands further behind you with more of that looping motion. Think Jim Furyk. If you have more turn and more depth, Charlie Hoffman would be a good example. He doesn't have a ton of turn, but he's got pretty low arms, so he's got good depth. And as he transitions into his downswing, he does not need to manipulate his hands very much at all to get that club on a really functional, awesome swing path, swing plane. Now, let's roll into the downswing now and how turn's going to influence other things. Now, I mentioned that you want your club on a functional path. Well, yes, that your turn influences your path. But for all things purposeful, let's bring us down to the impact position. Players at the bottom of the golf swing that tend to have that flip, that's almost everybody, right? A lot of people. And when we come down in the downswing, I can contribute that to a lot of players having an open face and trying to square it. But even some players that have a relatively square face and they still flip it, it's because there's very little turn or body rotation through the hitting area. And I want you to think of it like this. If your body doesn't turn, think about it like the Earth and its orbit. The Earth is always spinning, right? And what follows the Earth because it's spinning? The Moon. Well, if the Earth stopped spinning, the Moon would come out of orbit. And I want you to think of your club head like the Moon. So if our body stops spinning or turning, then our club head's going to come out of orbit and we're going to flip it. We're going to lose control of the club face. So we want the arms and the body turning together through the hitting area. And for most amateur purposes, more turn through the hitting area is a much better thing, but you have to prepare yourself for that. You have to prepare yourself by having a really functional swing path, by having a club face that's open to close, or excuse me, neutral to closed. If your club face is open, it's going to be very, very hard to promote more turn, because if you turn more, your club face is going to tend to be more open, your path is going to tend to be more left, and you're going to tend to put more fade spin, cut spin, slice spin on the golf ball. So as we turn through the hitting area, it's important that we turn around our body. We're turning around that same similar axis. And then as we get into the exit or more towards the finish position, if your body doesn't continue to turn, the path of the club tends to move more rightward for a right-handed player or inside out. And this is a pretty common one for good players, but not great players, is they might draw the ball, they might hit some good shots, but they tend to lose club face control because there's a little flip at the bottom of their swing and their body stalls out. I know you've probably seen that swing if you've watched a lot of lessons or seen a lot of lessons given, is that every now and then a player is pretty good, but they just lose control of their driver. They lose control of the longer clubs because they don't turn through the hitting area. And if you don't turn, right, remember that club head's going to fall out of orbit. Now, in a perfect world, we turn through that hitting area with an awesome body turn. That body turns to the left for a right-handed player. It opens up, it exits. And then that club can exit along a very similar line to the swing plane line. And depending on your ball flight preferences, if you want a more of a fade bias preference, you should turn more and that club should exit more left. If you want more of a draw bias preference, you should still turn a similar amount, but you should have a little more bend to the shoulders. That club should exit a little further to the right. And that will give you more of that inside out swing path versus turning more left with shoulders that are more level. That'll give you a more swing more around yourself or on a lower exit where you're going to create a straighter ball flight or more of a fade biased ball flight. And then as you turn through to your finish, you should be turned to face your target. You should be in balance. You should be standing tall. Your spine should be extended. And it's important that balanced finish position is really important. Now, at this stage, the golf swing is done. And I get people that ask me, well, does it matter? Yes, it matters. Watch professional golfers with their finish. It's like rock solid steady. They're able to hold it. They're able to stand there like a statue. And it's just a sign of a good elite golfer. It means that they've spent some time doing it. They understand their balance. It helps their hand-eye coordination. It helps them hit the middle of the club face. And it helps all of those things. But at this point, we're not going to change the club face alignments. We're not going to change the swing path. It's more a product of we've turned into a nice finish position and the swing is over. But let me give you some examples of what happens if you don't turn. If you don't turn, you've probably screwed up your exit. You've probably screwed up your impact. And you're also not utilizing your body to create full and maximum speed. And those are the big ones. So if you lack turn through the hit into the finish, you're going to lose control of the club face because your club is orbiting around your body. That club's going to exit higher and it's going to be more out of control because it's not orbiting around you. And then as you get to that finish position, boom, you have not used your body. You have not maximized your potential for speed. And there's probably not going to be a lot of balance to that position because the body's not rotated in the manner that it should be. That's turn, folks. It's major. It's a major, major deal in the golf swing, and it influences a ton of things. So first and foremost, I want you to understand that basic motion is important in the golf instruction world. If you don't have proper basic motion or fundamentals, then we're going to be stuck forever compensating for poor movement, for poor basic motion. So turn your body like a golfer, shift your body like a golfer, finish like a golfer, and if you can, work with somebody that can help you with this process. Golf is technical, it's complicated. If you have a really good swing path and a great understanding of how to systemize these decisions, you can really streamline your learning curve. And I would just encourage you to find that resource that you can lean on. And if you don't have it, use my resources as much as you can, my digital resources. I'm here to help as much as I possibly can. And I'm looking at ways to expand that reach into the future. So I want to thank you guys for being here. I want to thank you for being exactly who you are. Continue to hustle in the name of your goals. And this is Chasing Your Best. It's dedicated to helping the workers, the hustlers, the people just like you with a sport that they're passionate about. I appreciate you guys. I will catch you back here. Same time, same place next week.